Morning.
Welcome each one of you to the service this morning. It's good to have each one of you here. We want to extend a hearty welcome to Brother Daniel and Sister Becky. It's good to see you in the audience this morning. A lot of struggles this week. I'd ask a few good sound brethren to pray, especially a heart. I'm thankful for their prayers. I'm thankful for the prayers of each one of you. As many of you did not know, he was going to be standing here. But your prayers were felt. He had a lot of issues that were quite challenging this week, demanded a lot of time on the farm. And I struggle with how you come in behind a revival meeting like we just had. We're going to try to share with you what the Lord has laid on our hearts today. And the message title for this morning is It For Real? In a region near Honeybrook, Chester County, Pennsylvania, called the Welsh Mountains. Back in the late 1800s, mainly from 1861 to 1884, there was a family of six boys. Abe, Martin, Jake, Isaac, and John, and Joe Buzzard. And yes, that was their name. It was literally, Buzzard was their last name. We sell hay to one of their descendants. Moved quite a bit of hay through this man whose last name is also Buzzard. He told me a lot of this story, and it's on the internet for those of you who like to look things up. But these boys were known as the Buzzard Gang. Born dirt poor. Said to be orphaned by the Civil War. They set out to steal and terrorize mainly farm families in Lancaster and Chester counties. Abe was the ringleader of the group and the most dangerous of the brothers. Abe's youngest brother, Joe, was still stealing horses in 1939 at the age of 80. To give you an idea of what they were like. Abe himself spent 45 of his 84 years of life in prison, where he died. He was said to have been saved in prison, and when he got out for a while, he held tent revival meetings. While he was preaching at these tent revival meetings, his brothers would go out and rob the farms of those attending the meetings. As this Buzzard relative was relating this story to me, I asked him, did he know what they were doing? He said, sure, he knew what they were doing. And I had to wonder what you'd preach about or how you'd preach. But the point is, he was a counterfeit. And the question that I want each one of us to look at this morning, are we following the real thing? Or does it seem so close? Is it that close to the real thing that we think it is, the real thing? In Matthew 23, Jesus pronounces many woes on the scribes on the scribes and Pharisees. And in Matthew 23:28, he says, "Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You see, to be counterfeit is to be made in imitation, so as to be passed off fraudulently or deceptively as genuine. And I want to share with you this morning that Satan hates and is against everything that God is for and what God stands for. And he has counterfeits for everything God has. My concern this morning is that we are not deceived by these counterfeits. In 1 John 5:7, we read that there are three that bear witness, bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Holy Trinity, as we know it, the Father God, the Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And for that holy arrangement, the devil has his counterfeit. If we step back just to Revelation 12:3-4, there we read that there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Verse 9 there in chapter 12 tells us exactly who this great dragon is. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. We read there that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, believed to be the third of the angels of heaven that he deceived to go his way with him. In verses 8 and 9, in verse 7 of chapter 12, it says that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out from the presence of God. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this event in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, where he said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." He says, "I will be like the Most High." But in verse 15, we read, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." This former angelic being we know as Satan or Lucifer was given some tremendously awesome privileges within the realms of God's glory at one time. Ezekiel also speaks of it in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 18. The tremendous glory that he shared in the realms of God's heaven. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Verse 12 there in Ezekiel says that Satan was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He was the anointed cherub, close to God, the God of the universe. But that was all before pride, lust, and greed welled up in his heart. I don't know what Satan looks like now. I don't really care to know. But God said in verse 16 here that I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. The point is that Satan is a master deceiver. He apparently deceived 1/3 of the angelic beings in the realms of glory. He's been deceiving for millenniums. Totally counterfeit. And he's fighting a losing battle. And if we even entertain the thought that we can put him down without divine help from the Lord, brothers and sisters, we're deceived by him. We cannot. As we go along here this morning, I want us to see the real thing and to be the real thing, and not to be deceived by Satan, who says that he himself will be like the Most High God. So Satan himself is the counterfeit for God himself of the Holy Trinity. He is attempting to be an equal to God the Father, and that will not ever happen. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And coming into chapter 13, which Brother Ken read, verse 1, we see another beast having 7 heads and 10 horns, a very close imitation of the dragon. Only this one has 10 crowns upon his 10 horns, where the dragon had 7 crowns upon his 7 heads. Verse 2 says that the dragon gave him power and great authority. Then the master deceiver has it that this beast is wounded, as it were, to death. In verse 3, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 15, Brother Ken read, and he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. You see how Satan tries to counterfeit everything that God is and that God is for. This beast is Satan's counterfeit for our Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't our Lord wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities? Didn't he die on the cross for our sins and was resurrected again for the salvation of our souls? This beast is the Antichrist. As we said, he was wounded to death and miraculously recovered. In verse 1, we see that he rose up out of the sea. Jesus, when he was baptized and blessed by the Father, we read in Matthew 3, 16 and 17, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We read here in verse 2 again that the dragon gave this beast his power and great authority. He didn't give him all authority because he didn't have all to give. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that's the power source that we need to stay connected to. That's the real power. That's the true power. Because all power far supersedes great authority and great power. In verse 11, there's yet another beast of chapter 13. It said, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns, like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. This beast, it says, causes them that dwell on the earth to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He is the false prophet, the devil's counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, we read that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit came there in Acts 2 with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it caused amazement among the crowd that was gathered together there. Acts 2:7 says that they were all amazed and they marveled. Jesus said in John 15:26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He said, the Spirit of God will point you and me to Christ. This false prophet causeth them that dwell on the earth to worship the first beast. Again, his goal is the same as the others, to deceive them that dwell on the earth. Verse 14, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. You see, if a person is deceived, they really believe what is wrong to be right, to the point that they are convinced in their minds and in their hearts that what they believe is absolutely true and right. And if you or I don't agree with them, then we are absolutely wrong and different. So they believe. And I want us to understand this morning that to be deceived, or to allow oneself to be deceived, is a mockery of God. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I was so impressed this morning. Again, earlier as I opened my Bible and looked at the Sunday school lesson and read it, rooted in Christ, some of the verses there in Colossians 2. Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, that know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived is the warning for each one of us today. We have adulterers living in sin all around us, and they're deceived, and they're living in mockery of God. Abusers of themselves with mankind, pushing for their so-called rights. They're deceived, and they're living in mockery of God. And so it goes with the rest of the offenses listed there. And again, it's my desire, and God's desire as well, I know, that we are not deceived, that we know for certain what we believe and why we believe it, and live out the commandments of Scripture in our life, in our everyday lives. Let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Jesus said it's by our fruits that we are known. I know of those who will declare with their mouths that they are ready to meet the Lord at any time. I've heard them say it, and yet they're holding on to things in their lives. They're not coming totally clean before God. The fruits of their lives don't correspond with the fruits of the Spirit. And I say this morning that they're deceived and they're living in mockery of God. The Lord wants us to be real. What kind of fruit are we producing? Jesus said in Matthew 7:18 that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Let's make sure we're bringing forth good fruit. You know, when people see a photograph or a video today, the question always comes up, well, is it real? Even a home computer can manipulate images to create a picture of an event that never happened. Those that know more about photography and video than I do will tell you that images can be inserted into or removed from photographs. A video can be doctored to make it appear like a person was caught committing a crime or even performing an act of heroism. The camera may not lie, but a computer sure can if it's guided by the wrong hand. And centuries before all this modern technology, the Apostle Paul warned Timothy about counterfeit reality in the church. He said that in the last days, people would be self-absorbed, having a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5 says that having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and he tells us, from such turn away. He repeatedly emphasize the need to live a godly life, warning that evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse in the last days. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He charged Timothy in verse 14 to continue in the things which he has learned and be assured of them, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. True godliness honors and is obedient to the Word of God, and it obeys God's and the Holy Spirit's direction. While its counterfeit seeks pleasure, personal recognition, and personal gain. One pleases the Lord, the other gratifies natural desires. Both are identified by their actions and fruits. When people that haven't known us before hear that we are Christians, one of the things they wonder is their faith real? And I think our lives will answer the question by reflecting the reality of Christ in our hearts. And the only way that we can reflect the reality of Christ in our hearts and to people around us as they question whether we are real or not is to stay connected to the vine. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. You see the need for divine help in overcoming the deceitfulness of Satan? He says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. It's impossible to hang around with the wrong crowd or wrong friends that have little or no respect for righteous living. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Tells us again to be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We need to be ever so careful today. Like we live in a day when people will arrogantly try to persuade us that we are looking at things the wrong way. Cunningly describe to us how and why that we are wrong. And even use some scriptures to back themselves up. Matthew 24:24, Jesus said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The old saying is to take the bull by the horns. But I tell you this morning, if we dabble just a little bit in the wrong areas, we think we can handle it. We have the bull by the horns. Just remember, first of all, that we are deceived. And what we read here this morning, we have 22 horns to deal with. You can only have two hands on two horns. And the others will tear your heart. And tear you down violently. And destroy your soul. I read here that the first two beasts each have 10 horns, and the third has 2. We cannot be overcomers without divine help. We can't even entertain the thought. We need God's help. We need to be equipped with the real thing. We need to have the real thing hidden in our hearts. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Be not deceived. I'm told that the people that can detect counterfeit money quickly do not want to study counterfeit money. But they study the real thing, so as to be so familiar with the real thing that the counterfeit is easily spotted. It's the same for us spiritually. There is no way that we can detect counterfeit religion if we don't make it a priority in our lives to study the real thing, or we risk being deceived. We need to stick together. I believe today more than ever before. Jesus said in John 15:17, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." And also in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We have people in church that can't get along with each other, can't answer the questions, because of something somebody else did. Husbands and wives that don't show love to each other. How then are we going to show others that we love the people of God? We've just come through a God-blessed revival meeting. And I hope and pray, as Ray mentioned earlier, that the revival fires are still burning in our hearts. And pray that they continue to burn, that the deceiver won't have a chance to stick a wedge or even find a crack in our hearts. Paul gave instruction to Timothy on studying the Word in 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, "Meditate upon these things, the Word. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." You know, when we read scriptures like we listened to here this morning, Revelation 13, Revelation 12, and others, it would seem like Satan and his cohorts would be easily identified. We shouldn't have any problem detecting the evil one. But I say to us, let's not be too confident, but beware. 2 Corinthians 11:13, 14, and 15 tell us, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." He can look so good and so inviting and so tolerant, so passionate, compassionate to others, and sometimes it's hard to know the difference. We need to stay connected to the true vine. Revelation 13:8, which Ken read there in the opening, it says how much influence the prince of this world, that is Satan, will have. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The masses will worship him. People to sit in church Sunday after Sunday are going to worship him. Unless your name is written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The songwriter on page 697 in our black book asked the question, is my name written there on the page, white and fair? Then in the final chorus with rejoicing, he writes, yes, my name's written there on the page, white and fair. You know, Jesus told the disciples back in Luke 10, verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, it's really no great big thing, is it, that the spirits are subject to us? Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. But the fact that we should rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that will exempt us from the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And I ask us this morning, is it real in our lives, in your life, in my life? Let's be absolutely sure. Let's not be deceived by the master deceiver. In 1 John 5, 12, 13, and 14, we read it to you. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That's not eternal security, as some might believe it and preach it, but that is believer security, I believe, this morning. We can know, we can be sure, we can be certain. And I challenge us today to be sure. And I close with a verse from 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Are you really for real this morning? The Lord bless you and keep you.
I have no doubt in my mind that our revival meeting continued on this morning. And I believe that we should have several verses of an invitation. If there's anyone here who feels in his heart that they're not for real, there's something that is amiss, I think we should give them the opportunity to acknowledge it this morning. Brother Andy, you have two verses of a hymn that you could sing.